Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 29th, 2021, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 33, the third paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Christina M. reading the 12 Steps, Denise D. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Jody E., Jordan L., and Lois P. Our newcomer greeter will be Suzanne W., giving us announcements. At the end of the meeting, Betsy H. And thank you, Nadia, for recording us today. The reference numbers for yesterday's and this morning recordings, yesterday, Thursday, January 28th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the reference number is 16,290 or 16290. And this morning, 7 a.m. meeting on January 29th Eastern Time, 7 a.m., is 16,293 or 16293. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Boston, Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you for your service, Christina M. And Denise D., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, this is Denise D. from Florida. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Denise D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 33, the third paragraph, which begins to be gravely affected. I will now ask Jody E. to get us started. Good morning, Jody. Press star 1, Jody, to unmute. Okay, I'm not sure what happened to Jody. Lois P., could you read for us?
Sure. Hi, Kathy. Hi, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered. Hello?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Gratefully recovered in New York. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantities some of us have. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics often turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. Certain drinkers, who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics, are astonished at their inability to stop. We, who are familiar with the symptoms, see large numbers of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere, but try and get them to see it. Well, the idea that it doesn't have to take long to realize that I had this issue, this compulsive disorder, this allergy. It didn't take me long to realize it. I couldn't do anything about it, but I knew that I had a problem, that I was somehow different from other people. Interestingly enough, where it says this is particularly true of women, whether, you know, my body was a little more sensitive to this than perhaps, you know, my brother or my husband might be, didn't matter. I knew that I was hooked and that I was helpless. Of course, I had no recourse at that time. I didn't know what to do except power through with my will. And if people had told me in the beginning, you know, that I was a compulsive overeater, I would have been highly insulted, as it says here. Certain drinkers, you know, who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics are astonished at their inability to stop. Even though someone might have said, or the doctor or friends or whomever would say, you know, gee, though, maybe, you know, you need to lose weight. Or they would notice me going back for seconds and thirds on, you know, a dessert or on food when I couldn't stop myself from doing that. If they had labeled me as someone who had a problem, I would have been shameful, but also outraged for having to face that reality. Especially because when I was younger, try and get me to see that, absolutely not. I was full-headed, you know, lots of steam going in my ego, lots of energy at that point, and there was no way I couldn't conquer this. So this idea that you try and get young people to see it, of course, is a major problem. I identify with that. I was not able to see it as a young person, even though I've had it my whole life. I could not stop. I put on so much weight, took it off, put it on again. It was a constant battle, and this is something that I just want to share with others who are out there struggling. It's not a shameful thing to acknowledge this. This is, I finally know that it's an allergy. It's something that has to do with my chemistry, with my body. It's a spiritual emptiness that I tried to fill with food. It had to do with my worry and anxiety about life in general. And finally now, once we come to realize that this is beyond our control, it's beyond our ability to manage, then there's a great surrender that comes in, and that's where the steps and really working in this program and working with others becomes the greatest gift of life. So with that, I pass and thank you so much for the opportunity to share, Kathy.
Thank you, Lois P., for getting us started. Okay, I'm going to take the list of people's names who would like to share, and I do want to remind everyone that if you shared in the last 2 days, on this meeting, we ask that you sit back and let others share so that we can hear from other people as well. Okay.
Jody E.
Okay, Jody E.
Christina J.
Christina J. Who else?
Davelin E.
Davelin E. Who else?
Emily D.
Emily D.
Eden C.
Was that Eden C?
Eden. Yeah, Eden, like the garden.
Yeah, great. Eden C. Thank you, Eden. I'll take one more.
Greg K.
Greg K.
Robin P.
I'm sorry, who was that last person?
Robin P.
Robin P. Great. Okay, we'll stop there. I have Jody E., Christina J., Davelin E., Emily D., Eden C., Greg K., and Robin P. Okay, Jody, please get us started.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. And I apologize for not being able to unmute there. So the first sentence in this paragraph really applies to me. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time, nor take the quantity some of us have. I did eat compulsively for a long time, but I didn't take the quantities probably that some of us have. But I was gravely affected nonetheless. Being a bulimic type, I was a restrictor, I didn't vomit, but I would binge and then I would restrict to make up for the binge. And my binges were bad enough for me. And I gained enough weight and lost enough weight for me. There's only, I think, a 30-pound difference between my highest weight and my lowest weight. Not that big. But it was enough to make my life completely unmanageable, to make me depressed and suicidal. That's enough. So perhaps... and I was obsessed with food. When I eat my alcoholic foods, I become obsessed with them. And it's the same thing for other drugs as well. I smoked cigarettes for a while, not very long, because I felt so miserable smoking even half a pack of cigarettes a day. I was just miserable. Perhaps my constitution can't tolerate large quantities, but I'm gravely affected nevertheless. And I'm really grateful that I'm a real compulsive overeater today and that I have this allergy of the body, because it brought me to this wonderful program of Overeaters Anonymous 32 years ago, almost 33 years ago. And it brought me to a spiritual awakening and a spiritual way of life, for which I am immensely grateful, bringing me so many gifts and blessings and beyond my wildest dreams. And for that, I am so grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Kathy. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today by God's grace and the memory of my last binge and my true step one experience. Never want to go back. Thank God. I don't think I was ever astonished at the inability to stop. Something in me from birth knew. And I don't have many memories of my younger years at all, because there was intense drama going on around me as an infant and as a young girl, and it never stopped until I left home. And then it continued in subtle ways. So food was always what I went to cope. And so I don't think I was ever astonished that I finally realized that I was a compulsive overeater. Something in me always knew. And I think I was always gravely affected. I think I came in with this. And today I'm grateful for it, because it's brought me to my knees. It's brought me to God. But it was murder being in it. It was hell being in it. And I don't know, you know, it's very confusing for me to look back at the past and try to find some sort of a routine through the maze of what was going on. I didn't understand how to get recovered in and out of the rooms. I think I started in the rooms around in my 30s, and I wasn't in there very long because it didn't hold any kind of answer for me. And I'm sad to say that the rooms were all about sort of people that didn't know either. We all were kind of sitting around commiserating about the last week or what's coming up, or the relationship that wasn't working, or people were getting tokens for staying off their foods for a week or 60 days. Or I didn't hear any kind of spiritual message at all. And besides, if I did, I wasn't going to take it, because I already had a God, right? this last line gets me, but try and get them to see it. Nobody could get me to see anything, and I don't think any of us can get someone else to see anything. I pray that people will find the answer sooner, but I know that God has them. We all have to go on this journey to try to get to that step one experience. I can talk all day about how I have a disease. I have knowledge of my disease. I know that I'm powerless over the food, but until I am faced with the refrigerator or going inside the store, inside of my cravings, until I can walk away from the pain that I know I'm going to experience and go out and take some action for some help, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it on a deep cellular level until I do that. that was my experience. And, you know, questions, why can't I get this? Why can't I get this? Because I had not had that experience of walking away. And it wasn't my own willpower. It was something in me that said, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And I had to walk away from the lover. So that is what got me to see it finally. So always gravely affected, never astonished. I knew I had it, and I wish I could help other people see it, but we all have to have that experience. And I'll say one more thing. I'm a musician, and I can dream all day about being famous and all this, but until I sit down and do the work, nothing's going to happen, and it's not easy. It's not easy to sit down and do this work in Overeaters Anonymous. It's not easy to walk away from that last binge, but we have to if we're going to get this. So love you all, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Davelin E., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Davelin E., living gratefully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. This is my first time live on the line, although I've been listening for several months. And I am very grateful to you all for your service so that I can be here. When I listen to this paragraph and read this paragraph, I'm 74, and I have not been able to see, had not been able to see for a long time that food was an addiction for me. I have been stuffing myself with food, stealing food, pushing stools up to the freezer since I was a little girl to steal cookies, asking for more, doing anything I could to get food. As back as long as my food memories go, probably 7, 8, 9, 10. And when I got into puberty, I have three younger sisters, and on Saturday and Sunday mornings when mom and dad didn't get up, I would be making pancakes by the thousands and instituting contests to see who could eat the most, and toast and peanut butter and all those kinds of things. And I didn't have a clue that I had an addiction. I went through the same cycle as probably most of you. You know, eat and diet, gain and diet. And I always knew that I was obese, but I didn't realize it was a disease. I thought it was a defect in me. And I have to admit, I have been in the rooms of OA for just over 6 years. I have not been able to attain a consistent long-term abstinence. So I am still astonished at my ability, not my inability to stop, which I know is true, but I'm astonished at the fact that I keep on picking up and picking up and picking up. And that is why I am on this line. I'm looking for help with that. So I thank you all for being here. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Davelin E. Emily D., please share with us.
Hi, this is Emily D., recovered in Chicago, one day at a time, just trying to do these 24 hours ahead. Upon Awakening has been my go-to, and just grateful to have this text to not have to wonder anymore how this all works, not having to figure it out on my own. And, you know, I think really the shares have been so great today. I want you, any one of you, to do the pain for me. And to tell me what to do, and to tell me the right way. And it gets frustrating sometimes. I'm, you know, 9 months into this new way of living. I've had an entire spiritual experience. And the prescription I wrote was that I'm good. No longer will I suffer. No longer will difficult things come up. No longer will there be pain. But what I can say confidently is that there still is. And I can also say confidently that it is infinitely better than it was in the food. I am awake for it, and I am not alone with it. And when I go to other compulsive overeaters and I say, you know, for me this week, it's been my inability to stop being afraid. When I go, not to pick up, not to binge, not to be in bags and boxes, I've got neutrality around that. And, you know, those of us who've got, you know, more than a day or a week know that, you know, once we've got the neutrality, like, here comes life trudging along with opportunities to go deeper with God, which is now how I look at the challenges that come up in my life, how I look at the fear that I've lived with for 41 years. I'm 9 months old. And so if I can remember to treat myself as a 9 month old, and I mean, they're so cute, you guys, versus, you know, the 41-year-old who should know better, who should be hypervigilant, who needs to look in every corner and every crevice of every person who's in her life and make sure they're not going to hurt her, who has to sort of, you know, manage that battle, be at war, you know, fight those fights. I don't have to do that. I just have to do the 24 hours ahead and have a sense of wonder and a sense of exploration that a 9-month-old would have looking at anything. But I get judgmental, and, you know, you can try to get me to see that I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be on my way to serenity if I just keep working the steps and keep the food down, keep the sugar down, keep the flour down. But I have to do it. And it's my relationship with my God that gets me closer to serenity. And I'll tell you what, God speaks to me really plainly. And lately the message for me has been keep going. And that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear yes or no. keep going is not the mantra I lived by for the first 40 years of my life. So it's going to take some time for that to sink in, but it's happening, and I'm grateful for that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Emily D. Eden C., please share with us.
Hi, this is Eden C. in Oregon, and I felt inspired to jump in on the call this morning. The first sentence, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time nor take the quantities. I started in with the food probably, I mean, who knows, maybe the day I was born, but I remember back to being really 11, you know, 11, 12 is when my earliest memory of using food to cope with any sort of feeling. So I'm 47, so it's been going on for a while. But, you know, in terms of not taking the quantities that some of us have, I probably, you know, I don't want to compare myself to others. I'm not even going to go into that. But I knew, for me, I knew that in my head, and now I've learned in my, you know, spirit, that I was a compulsive overeater. I could never control it on my own, and felt, you know, was continually feeling like a failure and judged by others, but mostly by myself. If one person judged me, you know, every few months, it didn't matter because I was judging myself for my failures every minute of every day. And I honestly, I still struggle with that. Maybe it's not about the food, but it's about something, you know, because I'm seeking perfection. The other part that I wanted to share about was certain drinkers who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics are astonished at their inability to stop. And this just makes me think of a couple of people that I've had in my life over, you know, I've been in OA now for 20 years. And, you know, I've had people ask me, maybe they haven't asked me, but I've shared about my OA experience. I'm not annoying about it. At least I don't think I am. I, you know, some of these people I've known for 20 years, and I'll maybe mention it every 3 years or something as they bring up how they're struggling. And I have one friend who's, you know, I've known her since grade school, and she continues to struggle, and I've stopped bringing it up. And I think, you know, she'll come to it when she comes to it, or she won't. And that's her journey. So I am grateful to be on this call this morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Eden C. Greg K., please share with us.
Hi, thanks. This is Greg K. in Boston. Learning how to recover one day at a time. I've been just a few years, with the clarity that I'm a real food addict. It's always been there, but the other things that I consumed were sort of taking the forefront of my life, and not until those things had me crashing and burning and left me at, you know, my mid 40s home alone with sort of nobody in my life to praise me, I started praising the food more than I ever had. Food had been there since I was a kid. I could hide in the little snack closet in my childhood home in the middle of the night eating, and I could put things back to make it look like I wasn't eating. And growing up, I could think I had things under control by keeping my weight at a decent number, but it was painful, and I could never find the God that I was looking for. I could never find the freedom that I was looking for. And these last few years, I've really come to see how out of control, and by being in control, I have been. And so again, you know, it's only been a few years that I've been experiencing the fallout of what happens as a compulsive eater. And only one of those experiences, any one of those experiences where I was left, where I was home alone, curled up on my couch with boxes and bags of food around me, feeling pain in my stomach, and just praying for, you know, the next few hours to pass quickly so that I could feel normal again. Any one of those experiences should have convinced me that I needed help, but I still needed to get here on my own, and that wasn't easy. And here I am, and thank God that there are hundreds of people sharing their stories of, you know, strength and hope and recovery, and I am soaking it up. I have no doubt today that I am a real compulsive eater, and that food cannot solve the problem. Only my higher power can solve the problem. No human being, no material object, nothing else can do it. And it's been a long road, and thank God there's some respite here in these meetings and with this program. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg K. And before we hear from Robin P., I'd like to remind those who just got on the meeting, we are studying the third paragraph down on page 33. And I will be asking for more names after we hear from Robin. Please share with us, Robin.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Currently, it's not my background noise. Currently in Vero Beach, Florida. And certain eaters who would be greatly insulted if called compulsive overeaters are astonished at their inability to stop. I mean, that's where I just shoot that in, but I was so shocked when people said I had a problem, because I thought that my denial was working for them. It was working for me at the time, but it wasn't working for them. And everybody knew that I had a problem. You know, I was bulimic, I was anorexic. You know, I thought at 80 pounds, if I could just lose another 5, I would look good.
you know, it's just, it's such a sad disease of denial. And, you know, it just takes what it takes. You know, I did so many things and tried so many things, and none of them worked, or I wouldn't be in the grace of this program. And, you know, I felt like I had so many bottoms, and I thought, that was the bottom. No, that was the bottom. No, that's got to be the bottom. And, you know, when I work with a sponsee, I say what my sponsor said to me, are you willing to go to any length to recover today? And, you know, it just, and if they're not ready, then they just pray to hit bottom, your real bottom. So you just know when you're done and that you'll go to any length to recover and to have the grace of this program and God. You know, I've been going through so many things in my personal life right now, and I feel like the steps work for everything, for every area of my life, for all my affairs. And if I didn't have this program, I can't imagine how I would be handling any of this, plus abstinently, but even surviving. So I'm just so, so eternally grateful for this program and for all of you and to God. God bless everybody with a very abstinent, blessed day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, I'm now going to take some names of others who want to share. Who would like to share?
Barbara E.
Okay, Barbara E.
Liz T.
Liz T. Who else?
Liz A.
Liz A.
Noel J.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Noel J.
Noel J. Thank you, Noel. Maybe we'll have time for one more after that. Anybody else? Okay, well,
Dana P.
Okay, was that Dana?
Dana P.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Dana. Okay, Barbara E., please get us started.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful meeting. I've learned so much from just listening to the shares. And thank you, Kathy, for doing this service. I was born a compulsive overeater. I had no reason to. I came from a normal middle-class family. They didn't have a problem with food or alcohol. I wasn't physically abused, but I ate because it gave me a sense of warmth. It gave me a sense of 9 seconds of awe. And I was never full. My apostat was broken. And I feel that now that I've been recovered, God willing, and it's not me that did it, it's certainly him, her, or it. I've been recovered for 24 years. And I hope to go to bed recovered tomorrow because I know I'll wake up an addict again. But I feel like I've gone through all the stages of childhood and teenager. When I was a child, I couldn't control my emotions. I was like that little kid lying on the floor in the supermarket, banging on her fist saying, I want it, I want it. And then when I got to be a preteen, I hid my emotions. I didn't want you to know what I was feeling. And then when I was a teenager, I dissociated. I didn't want to express anything. I hid myself behind a window, a closed window, and the only thing allowed in the room with me was my food. But who was I kidding? I was fat. I was obese. I was wearing it on my body. So now, as a grown-up, at least of 24 years, I'll say, but much more that in reality, I have to accept and acknowledge my emotions like a mature adult. And sometimes that's hard because sometimes I still resent criticism. And then I have to realize that it may have a suggestion for self-improvement. And sometimes I do feel self-pity, and I feel that is too is futile and childish. But one thing I promise you, I'm not going to go to the food for the ease and comfort that I used to. So before a meal, I say, thank you, God, for this food that's nourishing me, and may it not activate my addiction. And after I eat, I say, thank you, God, it was enough. I am enough. I'm not junk. We're not junk. We're worth it. And it's, I think I read in the For Today book, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. So I want to see the beauty, not the ashes, today. And it's freezing here in New Jersey. It's absolutely freezing. But I know it's much colder in the Midwest, so I'm grateful. And I wish you all a wonderful weekend, and that you all have access to that vaccine that eludes some of us. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Liz T., please share with us.
Hi, this is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. And yeah, that first line there, to be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink along or eat compulsively a long time, nor take the quantity some of us have. And I was just reflecting a bit here, you know, I'm 44 and I came in 6 years ago. So I was 38, came into OA rooms, my local OA rooms, through a food recovery retreat. And I remember I had, you know, Googled, you know, I can't stop eating. The nighttime eating was really bothering me. I was getting up in the middle of the night, 3-4 in the morning, and I'd go straight to the fridge to ease whatever anxieties were going on. I'd get home from work and I would, you know, have to have like straight up, so it was basically my heroin. I had to have it. And I would be coming home from work and I'd stop at the drive-thru, and then I would try to have a sensible dinner with my family, like everything was normal, and throw away the evidence, throw away the packages, you know. And I remember thinking, I can't live with it and I can't live without it, because I thought I needed that food to deal with my stresses of motherhood when I got home. And now I've learned about my character defects and how I am maladaptive to life. And I was using food as a solution and thinking it was my problem. And then the weight gain was another symptom. The physical, mental, spiritual bankruptcy, the plantar fasciitis, you know, being 250 pounds, trying to exercise, I was running out of ideas. The old methods no longer worked. So at some point, I crossed the line from that moderate or temperate eater in the early 20s. I could party and, you know, somehow diet it off, but it was no longer working. It was piling on. And the mental and physical, spiritual torture was just way too much to handle on my own. So it wasn't until I was in the room maybe 2.5 years that I stumbled along Vision. An Evie of sorts told me about the meeting. I've had a few different sponsors on here. And, you know, it's just been a learning experience and going deeper in my step work. And reestablishing that relationship with God, that He really can rescue me from this. And I don't ever have to take another compulsive bite ever again in my life. So I'm just so grateful. And anybody struggling or any sort of pain you're in, just stick around, keep working it, and don't give up. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. And Liz A., please share with us.
I'm Liz A. from Michigan. I am a grateful compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic, recovering for today. To be gravely affected, this disorder, this food addiction, gravely affected me, and I was willing to go to any lengths to manage it. I would binge and exercise for 6 straight hours, or restrict for a couple of days, or purge, or I did cocaine that takes the appetite away and acts as a laxative. And so I was willing to go to any length. And this addiction, food obsession, had so gravely affected me that I knew at some point I needed treatment. And I called a hospital and they said, "We're sorry, you don't have insurance." And miraculously, was brought into Overeaters Anonymous in 1986. I told my first sponsor I was terrified that I would get up to 300 pounds, and she said, "You'd kill yourself first," because she knew the gravity and the progression of the addiction. And yet I spent 5 years in program trying to be the exception, and I was actually pissed because I was going to beat this thing somehow. That was the insanity. And I just kept coming back. I'll be honest, I just kept coming back, doing what I needed to do and making, as somebody said years ago, stumbling up and down the 12 steps, you know, scraping my shins up, doing things incorrectly, trying it again. That's the beauty of the program, is learning the grace and having a higher power, you know, tell me when I fall, it's okay, get up, do it again. Like, I don't have to be perfect here. And so I thought this addiction was only about my food and my weight. And as I continue to work, I'm finding that there are more underlying problems that I was medicating. And then the other thing is other people who have the addiction. My daughter is morbidly obese. And a few years ago, I said to her, "I'm concerned about your binge eating and binge drinking." And she just started screaming and sobbing and saying that I was so critical and it was never enough. And I just kept saying, "I love you. I'm concerned. I love you. And there is nothing I can do." She's been in ER. I'm watching her and it's breaking my heart. And I pray for her constantly. And there's nothing else I can do except work my program one day at a time. Pray, you know, somebody said push. Pray until something happens.
That's time.
So, okay. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Liz A. We have just 3 minutes left. So Noel J. and Dana P., if you can each take a minute and a half, we can hear from both of you. Go ahead, Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Noel. I'm in Philly. I'll be quick. I just want to say I'm so grateful for these meetings. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to say I'm so grateful for these meetings. My sponsor recommended these phone calls, and I've been jumping on at either 7 or 10, and just listening to the Big Book study has been, it's been great. I am what I think in these past few meetings folks would consider a young person. I'm on the cusp of 30. And, you know, for me to be here, it's a miracle. It's a 100% miracle that I am even, that I can even say I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, all of the things that I am. But I am in, you know, I'm in two other programs. I remember even being like a little girl and being in kindergarten, like I was a shyster. I would do anything I needed to do to get food, trade with people at school, manipulate people out of money, steal from the cookie jar.
Noel.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. Dana P., please take a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Good morning. Dana P. here, compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic in California. I would have a longer share, but I'd just like to express my gratitude, ultimately my gratitude for this program and this book and this amazing chapter and everyone that shared on the line about the gravity of this disease and how quickly, for me, it went from a very restrictive diet at 17 years old to 90 pounds. Within 4 months, I was a full-blown bulimic. And that went on for 41 years until I came into this program. And at one point, I did try OA when I was a young person. And for a variety of reasons, you know, I thought I didn't fit there. And so I'm just so grateful, and I'm so grateful for the young people that are coming in and seeing that there is a solution, because we all help one another. This is a we program, and we all need one another to continue to recover. And again, like I said, I'm just eternally grateful. So I will keep coming back, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Dana P. And thank you to everyone who has shared today and everyone who has listened today. It's been a great meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and then we will hear from our newcomer greeter and announcements. Please stay around for those. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I'd be happy to, Kathy. Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on the line with you all this morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. Excuse me. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge this road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.